Commissioner Fields?
Yeah, I have a question. Specifically, the Chamber of Commerce sponsors our State of the Ports. Does this motion or amendment that you put forth, how does that impact the sponsorship of the State of the Port by the Chamber of Commerce?
If you're asking me, Commissioner,
yes.
That I believe as written, and assuming the criteria are met, supporting candidates, which I believe is the case with the Chamber, that would preclude sponsorship of the Chamber of Commerce for purposes of the State of the Port address.
Okay. Okay. And I just want to follow up on this, because I think there's a lot of unintended consequences that will happen if this amendment passes. However, if it is the will of this board and the majority rules pass, I'd like to add an amendment to this. And that amendment would be this. Since your purpose is to not have political interference by the port or giving money for political candidates or measures, I think that should extend to the members of the board as well. So that I would amend this to mean to state that not only can we not, or it's prohibited, that members of the board are prohibited from endorsing as well as giving contributions to affect measures as well as political candidates.
Commissioner Dines?
I have a question for Vice President Fields on that. Would that mean that members of the board are not eligible to request sponsorships?
No,
because that's what this motion is.
No,
this motion is about denying sponsorships. So,
no. What I'm saying is, I believe the intent, if I understand you properly, I believe your intent is not to have a 501c3 influence unduly any legislation or a campaign, which is the same thing that you're asking. I would be asking members of this board to do, because what you're saying is essentially that. I mean, that's what this boils down to in the essence. And I think it's only fair if we're saying that no money can come from this board for sponsorships, the same thing should be true of the members of this board.
President Wise?
Yes.
I think that we're talking about two different items entirely. We're talking about, in this motion, the use of public funds to an organization that is involved politically, and you want to include the my free expression as a commissioner, I think, to make a contribution which is within my constitutional rights. Now, whenever I make a personal contribution, I ask that the term port commissioner never be included with my endorsement. And I think that's plain. I'm not trying to identify with the board, but I believe that I have a constitutional right to write a check on my personal funds to whomever I choose, or whatever organization or issue I choose to support. But in this case, we're talking about public funds, and I think that is entirely different.
Commissioner Fields?
Yeah, I have two responses. First of all, Commissioner Drummond cannot be separated from Mr. Drummond, the citizen, because you are known as being a commissioner. I don't see how that, you can't separate that just for the public. That's one. But on a broader question, I believe the Supreme Court has ruled that free speech is extended to corporations and to other entities. I mean, if you want to carry that through, this is the same thing that's true of here. So, I mean, these groups have a right to free speech. And by the very fact that we are restricting their free speech by saying we are not allowed to contribute to their sponsorship or to their or become members of an organization, to me, is infringing upon that free speech element.
Mr. Ceramic?
I just think we need to keep separate a bylaws change versus an amendment to our sponsorship policy. Right now we're talking sponsorship policy. If we want to change our bylaws, I think that's something needs to be discussed separately.
I have a couple questions. When you say except for sponsorships or fundraisers for 501c3 charitable purposes, you actually mean for 501c3 entities? Is that what you mean? You mean an entity that is a 501c3?
Let me give you an example of what I mean. I went on the city clerk's website and looked at where all of this outside money was coming from. And honestly, most of it's coming from unions. And I'm a union member, but I'm up here trying to make this argument. If a local union wants to have a fundraiser for a 501c3, and they want to raise money for Miller Children's Hospital or some form of cancer, and they have a golf tournament, all of those proceeds are going to that charity. So it's not about it's the purpose or the intent of where the money is going. If any group wanted to hold that fundraiser and all the proceeds were going to that 501c3 charity, they'd be excluded here. That the intent is to protect charities, but ensure that public funds don't go to groups for their purposes that want to be involved in municipal elections. Now, this has nothing to do with who's running for president or governor or Congress. This is those local elections and that are a part of the city, of which we are. We're the Harbor Department. That's the only intent of this motion.
Okay. So just to be clear then, the dollars would have to be going into that were raised, the proceeds would have to be going into a 501c3 entity. So if an entity that was not a 501c3, it was a 501c4 or a 501c5 or a 501c6, put on an event and said that they were going to give the money away, only if those dollars were actually going into a 501c3 would the port be able to be a sponsor. Is that correct?
It would have to go through a 501c3 for the charitable purposes.
Okay. All right. So to me, what that means is that the dollars have to actually be going into a 501c3 entity that are raised by the event. I mean, we're not going to make the staff decide whether or not the purpose meets the qualifications of a 501c3. Any 501c3 entity will be able to come forward with a certificate that shows that they have that status. So that's all that we would have to require.
Absolutely. And Madam President, the group that is holding the event doesn't have to be a 501c3. That's where the money has to go to.
But and all the proceeds of the event have to go to the 501c3.
Correct.
Okay. Now what I want to do is go back and talk about this word sponsorships, because our port already has, we have, you know, several pages of sponsorship policies. And sponsorship means just buying tickets to an event. So are we going to preclude the port? Is your motion intended to preclude the port from buying tickets to an event that's put on by an entity that is not going to contribute the proceeds, if there are any, from that event to a 501c3?
Madam President, I defer to the city attorney to ask that question. I don't have a law background, so I can't tell you how that would.
You started out with a predicate that the current sponsorship policy applied only to purchasing tickets.
No, I'm saying that's an example of what our policy says sponsorship includes.
Correct. It's one of the things. Okay. And your question was then whether that narrow component of the sponsorship policy would be ruled out by this, that the not only could the port not buy full page ads in the program and banner advertising at the event, but the port could not purchase individual tickets. And I think yes, that is the impact of the amendment. The port as the port could not purchase tickets for those events if the organization putting on the event met the criteria described in the amendment.
So that would mean I mean, to me, what this means then is that that port sponsorship dollars basically can only go to 501c3s. Because we are unable to buy, for example, a ticket to go to an HAIC luncheon where there's a speaker about energy.
I think it's not limiting to 501c3s, but it's limiting contributions to any entity that's been involved in local politics to 501c3 charitable events. So anyone who has not been involved in local politics, it would be business as usual. The policy would be unchanged.
Okay. Well, I'm also looking at a list we have that suggests that, and I'm just using the HAIC as an example, but I don't know if they've been involved in local politics or not. But if they were to get involved in local politics at all, then we would be, our staff and harbor commissioners would not be able to get tickets to go to their luncheons.
That's correct, the way I interpret that amendment.
Okay. To me, that is way too broad, because I think it is inevitable that that we are going to overlap with entities that get involved in local political activities. And I think it's important that we overlap with a lot of those groups. Not that we necessarily fund them, but certainly that we interact with them and that we communicate with them and that we exchange information with them and hear what they have to say and they hear what we have to say. So if this is intended to be that broad, then I really can't, I really cannot not support it. I've spent my entire life in Long Beach supporting 501c3s and being very involved in them. So I don't have any problem with that, but I do have a problem with the breadth of this proposal. So if there's some way that it can be revised, you know, I might be able to consider it, but I can't in this format. If it does go forward, the other thing I would urge is that it become effective sometime in the future, because in the way that it's currently put together, I think it is penalizing anyone that has been involved in political activities in the past. And if we're now not going to, if it's the decision that we're not going to, you know, interact with these entities in any way, I think we should make an announcement that this is going to happen in the future, and then they can guide themselves accordingly. And the last point I would make is that I look at the charter, and it says that we are supposed to promote the port, and we're supposed to promote commercial interests and solicitation of business within and without the harbor district. And doing that, I think, requires interaction with all these different groups. So I hope if we're going to go forward with this that we can find a way to limit it. Commissioner Dines?
Thank you, Madam President. I went on the city clerk's website and I went back a couple years to see who was making filings for independent expenditures. And I mean, for example, Pacific Merchant Shipping Association, the last time they did anything was 2010. So that's been more, that was Measure D. That was 3 years ago. So this would not apply. SEIU, a union. League of Conservation Voters, AFL-CIO, I'm a member, Los Angeles County Democratic Party, obviously I'm a member, Long Beach Jobs PAC, Long Beach Firefighters PAC, Local 80 Entertainment Industry, IBEW, Local 11, Harbor Trucking Association, California Machinists, another union, BN Railroad, BizFed, and AFL. Most of these are unions that have done this, that have made independent expenditures and have been very politically active within the city. So I appreciate your concerns here. I very much respect your comments. I don't see this having that large of an impact. Like Dominic said, the restriction is only on the groups that are involved in local municipal elections. 90% of the groups we deal with may not be impacted whatsoever, or it might be 95%. I don't have that exact number, but these are the groups that it will impact. And you know, with the firefighters, I see them in the back here. So no disrespect, but you know, I think the charities you raise money for are, I mean, that's a great cause. But I don't see you raising money for your union. I see you raising money for 501c3 charities. So there's no impact here. So this is about keeping public funds separate from local politics. That is the intent, and that is the sole intent of this.
I guess one of my questions would be is whether the unions each have a 501c3 through which their charities are conducted. I don't know the answer to that. Because if they didn't, then they wouldn't be eligible even for support of their charitable events.
I do know of one golf tournament that's put on for Miller Children's every single year that raises at least $25,000, and the port is a sponsor. And the money goes directly to a 501c3, and the charity is set up that way. And Miller Children's takes the money in through a 501c3.
Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment on this item?
Yes, Madam President. My name is Randy Gordon. I am President and CEO of the Long Beach Area Chamber of Commerce, a job I've enjoyed for 19 years. I'd like to ask for a little bit more than 3 minutes, if you would allow me to do that. And I'd like to read a prepared statement. The Chamber is and has been a strong advocate of the Port of Long Beach, its policies and its programs and people for many, many years, long before I got here 19 years ago. The Chamber recognizes the vast economic impact that result from the Port of Long Beach and has always supported the port's importance, not just to Long Beach, but to the region, the state, and the nation. The Chamber is proud of its relationship with the port and the many ways the port and the Chamber have historically cooperated on matters of shared importance. Using one example of cooperation, the State of the Port Luncheon has grown to become one of the most significant community events of the year and provides an excellent forum for the port and its numerous partners in the international trade, transportation, logistics area to hear directly from port officials concerning matters of current and future importance to the port and its customers. We had over 600 in attendance last year, and this is always a great opportunity for your executive director to speak. Numerous chambers affiliated programs work directly with the port, including the International Business Association. As an example, the Chamber is a proud partner of the World Trade Week Luncheon and numerous other programs that support the port. This includes the World Trade Week poster contest for students, as well as the speech contest, and thousands of dollars in scholarships are awarded at this event. The Chamber has rarely on matters of importance different from the port. Let me explain. The Chamber has never, ever challenged the port's budget priorities, nor has it ever challenged the port policies. The Chamber took a neutral position on Measure D, even though many Chamber members and many industry organizations urged strongly for the Chamber to oppose the measure, but we didn't. The Chamber has not challenged the port's implementation of project labor agreements, even though philosophically the Chamber has concerns about such approaches. Four, the Chamber did not challenge the port's decision to move into temporary offices at the airport, even though many of our Chamber members and others in the industry voiced concerns with locating the headquarters out of downtown. Even with the Chamber's support of the BNSF SCIG project, if you recall, the Chamber's position on the project, we concluded with the recommendations that the two cities, Long Beach and Los Angeles, should sit down together and work out mutually satisfactory mitigation measures for the project. The Chamber simply feels that the project benefits outweigh the detriments that are looking for the win-win between the two cities. And that should be the priority. It's almost important to note that the Los Angeles Chamber of Commerce, an organization that you supported to the tune of $20,000 in sponsorship just 2 months ago, also endorsed the SCIG project. And oh, by the way, that chamber's PAC spent over $500,000 fighting city council candidates or supporting them, including the mayor's race. What kind of message does it send for this body to give that chamber $20,000 in sponsorships and to pass this policy tonight, today, and give our chamber zero? How does the local business industry feel about that? So I strongly believe that the port's involvement in the chamber as a chamber member could be beneficial, and the relationship could continue in place for the unforeseeable future. But before I close, I think it's very important for me to clarify the difference between the Chamber and the Long Beach Jobs PAC. The Long Beach Area Chamber of Commerce is a totally separate entity from the Long Beach Jobs PAC. No funding between the two entities can, under law, be intermingled, nor has been the practice of either one of these entities since their existence. The Chamber is a 501c6 nonprofit entity. The Long Beach Jobs PAC is a Category 527 nonprofit entity. The Chamber and the Long Beach Jobs PAC have completely separate bylaws and separate board of directors. The action of the Long Beach Jobs PAC board of directors are not encouraged nor approved by the Chamber's board of directors. The Chamber's attorney is Bob Spinmer of Kiesel, Young & Logan. The Long Beach Jobs PAC attorney is Chuck Bell of Bell, Andrews & Hilltack in Sacramento. The Chamber's treasurer is Pepe Wang of Wines & McClary. The Chamber's Job PAC treasurer is Dave Bauer, Sacramento. For the last 15 years, Guzman & Gray accounting firm has conducted the unified audit of the Chamber and the separate Long Beach Jobs PAC and confirmed that there are no intermingling of funds between one entity and the other. The most recent audit was completed in the last 60 days and confirms this fact. This audit is available for inspection. The PAC's treasurer files all appropriate and legal requirements and documents to the Secretary of State in accordance to state law. Similar filings are made to the Long Beach City Clerk's office. These reports are made public for public information through the Secretary of State's website. It's also important to note that the Long Beach Jobs PAC has never received any notices of violations or any fines of any violations for any reasons since its inception. In summary, I would encourage you to vote no on this policy so that the Chamber continue to be the best ambassador this port has ever had. Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the public that wishes to comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Commissioner Dines.
Thank you, Madam President. For the record, I'd like to state that there was only one person with public comment. And I think it is important to address the state of the port since it has been brought up. We have 600 attendees from the industry, and I think the state of the port is a great event. But I also believe that it's an event that our communications department is more than capable of putting on ourselves. And I think we have those relationships with those 600 people that come to listen to the port executive director speak directly to port customers. And further, I think if the port did put this on as an event, whether it be worked in with our very successful Pulse of the Ports, or whether, and hopefully we would just charge for seats, I'm sure our customers are willing to pay. I estimate with 600 attendees, we could make a profit of probably $75,000 on holding such an event. And then I would actually propose, if we were to do that, I know the city has their own state of the city, and it's free, but I think we could get away with charging. And with $75,000 in profit, potentially, that I'd recommend that we would take that money and give it out in scholarships to youth interested in maritime studies. I think that would be an excellent use of that funds. Thank you.
Anything else? All right.
But I just got a quick question. That's not part of the motion.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So the motion on the floor then is what? Is what you originally stated? And that's a motion to amend your previous motion.
That's correct, Madam President.
So the first thing we do then is vote on the motion to amend the previous motion.
That's correct.
Okay. I just have one more question for the city attorney. Is an entity that, in order to be an entity that opposes or endorses candidates, I mean, if an entity is doing it, is not doing something in its own name, but is doing it in the name of a PAC, does that distinguish it from?
The original motion did talk about sponsoring through a PAC. It's not clear to me at this point how that would be interpreted. These are organizations that have opposed or endorsed candidates or measures. From what Randy Gordon just said, the chamber itself does not oppose or endorse candidates. Whether this would need to be amended to restore that PAC, I think their position would probably be that they don't even support candidates through a political action committee because they're two separate entities. I mean, he was very clear on the separate entity point. So I'm not sure exactly how that would be interpreted under this if it was adopted.
Okay. All right. Commissioner Ceramic?
Yeah, I just want to get some more clarification on buying a ticket for a luncheon at an event, for instance, or advertising. I thought those two things, because of our, you know, need to network or advertise, okay, at certain events and functions. I thought those were absolutely allowed across the board.
The law requires either a maritime purpose, trade,
right,
or maritime purpose, and you're correct. Those are not restricted in amount. In addition, the charter permits advertisement of the benefits of trade in maritime,
yeah,
and that can be to organizations that are not directly related to trade in maritime, because you're showing the flag essentially at those events. Those are more limited in amount, and those are often the ones that come up under sponsorships. I'd have to look at the policy again to see.
You're getting value out of either one of those things.
You're getting value out of either one of those. I don't recall now whether the original sponsorship policy was put in place only to restrict the last category or whether it applies to all categories, including trade and maritime activities. I'd have to look at that.
Well, I'm confused then, because I thought you just told me that we couldn't buy tickets or do any of these things with any entity that got involved in municipal elections.
I'm just looking at the sponsorship policy now, and it does include all those categories. It's trade, maritime, so I stand by my answer earlier that it would in fact preclude buying tickets for maritime or trade related events for organizations that meet the criteria in the motion.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Okay. All right, anything else? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed. All right. The motion passes, which amends the original motion. And I'm going to make an amendment. I'm going to propose an amendment now to the motion on the floor. And my motion is that this policy revision not go in effect for a year and a half.
I'll second it.
Is there any discussion? Is there anyone from the public that wishes to comment on the proposed amendment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
All right. That amendment fails. So now we will vote on the motion as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I mean, that was a nay for me. Sorry. Let's do that again. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed. All right. The motion passes 3-2. Thank you.